Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network.
Georgia should be right back there again, just like Alabama.
Kind of nice to be able to actually talk trash for the Razorbacks for a change.
Who's going to beat them?
Welcome to another episode of the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. This 7-episode series will take you through the Power 5 conferences, the national championship conversation, and the players you need to know across the Heisman and NFL draft landscape. Each episode will feature our Locked On local experts who cover each of the biggest teams around college football every Monday through Friday. We'll also be joined by betting expert Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets to help you set the edge and rake in the cash this college football season. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, host of the daily Locked On Auburn podcast. But for this series, I'll be your guide as we visit with over 30 different experts to get you ready for the season ahead. Today, we're going to the SEC, where the two biggest favorites, Alabama and Georgia, are Auburn's biggest rivals. And Auburn, the team I cover, isn't even a part of this conversation. Not even the sleepers. But I'm not bitter. All I want to know is, will the Crimson Tide repeat as SEC champs? Or can the Tennessee Volunteers go from sleeper to conference champion? We'll start things off with the conference favorites.
Conference favorites.
It's widely expected that we will see the same two teams in Atlanta from a year ago, which means we'll also see a national championship rematch between Alabama and Georgia. Joining us to talk about Alabama and Georgia's path to Atlanta for the SEC championship game is Locked On SEC's Chris Gordy, Locked On Bama host Luke Robinson, and Clint Shamblin of Locked On Bulldogs. Clint, Georgia finally got that elephant off their back and beat Nick Saban. What does that mean going into this season?
What we keep on trying to tell every single person is this is the new standard. Georgia fans are just, everybody believes that the season's a waste before the season even begins. Now coming off a natty, coming off that big win, we're trying to tell Georgia fans, guys, this is the new normal. This is the new Kirby. This is the new expectation. So don't do the thing where we poo-poo the season and say, oh, no, we're just out here trying to get to a bowl, trying to get in the SEC. No. The expectation is SEC championship against Bama, winning it and going to the playoff every single year. This is the new standard.
Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. You buy that? You buy this as the new standard for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Yeah, I've been saying that all offseason as the unbiased guy here. I like Alabama and Georgia equally as much, so I'll be the unbiased voice. But, you know, the argument that I've heard for Alabama being number one is, oh, well, you know, they're just loaded again. And, yeah, there's some questions of concern, but, you know, Saban, he just reloads. Whereas with Kirby, the mantra has kind of been, oh, well, they lost a lot to the NFL. And my argument against that is, wait, hasn't Kirby been right there with Saban in recruiting in top five classes? He should be reloading, not rebuilding, right? So if that's the case, Georgia should be right back there again, just like Alabama is every, you know, single year. So, yeah, I think this will be the true test is how quickly does Kirby fill in those holes of all those guys that left. You know, they got some tremendous pieces already on that defense, you know, that played a little bit last year but didn't start. How quickly can those guys adjust to starting roles? But, yeah, I just look at it and say this has got to be a year that if Kirby is on par on that same level as Saban right now, not what he's done for the past decade, but right now, then Georgia, it should be a quick let's hit the ground running and, hey, let's have an undefeated season and let's run through the East and let's meet up Alabama for another date in Atlanta in December.
Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama. Does this change how Nick Saban approaches the season now that there's another powerhouse that's done it? I mean, Georgia's been labeled as a power for the last 5 years or so, but now they've done it. It's got to be a little bit different now going into the season, right?
Really, I don't think so. I mean, certainly we've been through this before with LSU. LSU had one of the more historic seasons in college football history, and the next year, you know, they fall off. I don't think Georgia's going to do that, by the way. I think they got much better leadership, and LSU just happened to have one of those seasons that some teams have every now and again, whereas I think Georgia is certainly primed to continue to be a threat every single year. The one thing I would caution about, you know, saying this is the standard, and I think that is fair for Georgia fans to certainly expect to be in the national championship race from here for the foreseeable future, no doubt. But the only one that's been the standard where, like, you either win it or it's awful is Alabama. Now, Ohio State's been way up there. I mean, almost every school in the country would trade success rate with Ohio State or Clemson, for that matter. Sure. And right. I think Georgia's getting in that conversation now. I mean, they probably are in that conversation. So, but the lone difference is you got to win a couple of them. I mean, Clemson also had a pretty good standard. And, you know, and it's funny, I hate this as a college football fan because I like the old bowl system in a sense. I like bowls. I like to watch them. But, you know, Clemson went 10-3 last year, and it is viewed as an abject failure. I mean, just a total collapse. And, wow, I mean, 10-3 is a failing season now. And that's the problem when you get to this standard is, boy, when it crashes, it's awful.
Yeah, it's tough to get there. It's even tougher to stay there. So Clint Chamblin, host of Locked On Bulldogs. If things trend south, if things trend down for Georgia and they're not able to replicate what they did a year ago, what happened? What went wrong?
What went wrong is that Kirby isn't who we thought he was. The recruiting and the development isn't there. The war of attrition of the coaching staff on defense were there. And we can look back and say, yes, this was the best defense last year ever in college football because they did propel them into that. It means Todd Monken is not the guy we thought he was developing in third year with quarterbacks, specifically before seeing his trend with that. And what it means is that, yeah, this coaching staff has no excuses. This isn't a rebuilding year by any stretch of the imagination. This, again, recruiting after recruiting after recruiting, top three classes, top one classes, time and time again. It means that Todd Monken's fallen off and Kirby Smart is not the defensive guy we thought he was because the talent's there.
Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama. Same question to you. If Bama trends down, I mean, I think a lot of people are calling this their best team that they've had in a while, which is saying something. If it doesn't achieve a championship, whether it's a conference championship or a national championship, what went wrong?
The only thing I could think was injuries to both Will Anderson and Bryce Young. Bryce played in the scrimmage yesterday, obviously, and he was just absolutely on point. I think he's going to end up being the greatest quarterback in Alabama history. Will Anderson, one of the best defenders in Alabama history, if not the best. And sure. Then there are a lot of players around them that are very, very good, but those two are certainly the two key cogs in the wheel. And The other thing would be some kind of upset in there. Look, Alabama's schedule and Georgia's the same. Alabama and Georgia's schedule, it doesn't look quite as intimidating because Alabama and Georgia can't be on it to play each other until the SEC title game. But there are some sneaky, difficult games in there, especially for Alabama. You think about going to Ole Miss and LSU back to back. And I think Ole Miss and LSU both have the week off or something like that. And at Arkansas in there is tricky. There's some sneaky, hard games in there. And Alabama does have some inexperience at the receiver position. I know everybody likes Jermaine Burton a lot, likes what he can do, but they've also had some injuries in that spot already. And the offensive line, I certainly think it'll be better than last year, but it's not a vintage Joe Moore winning offensive line for Alabama. So there are a few things there, but in the end, I mean, I'm the same way. I just don't see where Georgia and Alabama lose until they play each other.
Gordy, hearing both of those explanations as far as things that could go wrong for either one of these teams, do you think one of those is more likely than the other, or do you expect to see both of these teams in Atlanta when it's all said and done?
I mean, I think the likelihood that both these teams have a loss going into December is certainly there. You look at what Alabama did a year ago, and they played with fire. I mean, you look at Alabama playing close games last year at Florida. You know, we know they lose to A&M in College Station, but, you know, the LSU game, they let LSU hang around way too long in that game than they should have, got actually knocked around in the trenches. And we know how the Iron Bowl played out. Alabama should have lost that game. Kudos to them. Yes. They found a way to win it.
100% agree.
But, you know, I look at that and say, you know, Alabama, look at the schedule. You know, is there a game where they slip up? And Luke kind of hit on it, you know, that stretch where they can find a loss. Georgia, I look at the back half of that schedule, and certainly, you know, I'll take Georgia Tech out of it, but that stretch of playing Florida in the cocktail party, then getting the high-powered Tennessee Hendon Hooker team, and then road trips to Starkville and to Kentucky, there might be a slip-up point somewhere in there where Georgia slips up and loses the game. So I think we're both destined still to have both these teams in Atlanta, but what happens if they both come in Atlanta with one loss? Then you're talking about literally the rights to win the SEC and get in the playoff is on the line. And I don't think a two-loss SEC team this year gets into the playoffs. So that could certainly change the dynamic of what we've become used to and what we had happened last year where, okay, win or lose, Bama and Georgia are both in the playoff.
Clint, hearing that, and you say, okay, if Georgia goes into the SEC championship game with one loss, who do you think it's against?
Yeah, I think that one loss. Look, I got mad props for Kentucky. I think Coach Stoops does a lot of good things at Kentucky. They are a tough as nails team. And if you want to talk about sneaky games, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, like, I get it. He can surprise you with some points, but he doesn't scare me the same tenacity as a very good run game and a very good defense. Because you know what translates every single game? Good defense and a good run game. And that's what Kentucky is built on. Hendon Hooker and Tennessee, I think the hot cold with their trenches, if they had more development or more depth on the trenches, maybe there. I think very similar to last year, Tennessee comes out, gets 14 quick points, and then Georgia puts a stop to them. I think that's similar. They might surprise first quarter in Athens, but I don't think after that. Kentucky is my bet to be a very, very tough game. And Mississippi State, too. That defense, Mississippi State, I think a lot of people are sleeping on that defense because there are some studs on that line and linebacker. They're really good. So my money, if you told me there's one loss, I would say Kentucky.
That's interesting. That's interesting for sure. Luke Robinson, same question to you about the Crimson Tide. If you had to predict that one loss for Alabama, assuming that happens, who's it against?
I want to say Ole Miss, simply because I think Lane Kiffin just would take so much joy out of getting a victory there. And I feel like Lane Kiffin would be the kind of guy to say, okay, I will sacrifice three wins I should get to get this one win I shouldn't, just because if I win this game, I mean, I'm set for life. Everybody's going to love me. It doesn't matter. I mean, look at
– I think Ole Miss fans would do the same thing, Luke.
Oh, I agree. And yeah. But look at Jimbo Fisher. I mean, they finished, what, 8-4 – 9-4, whatever. I guess it was 8-4 last year. And but all everybody talks about, instead of, hey, 8-4 is pretty middle of the road, dude. Instead of talking about that, they talk about beating Alabama. That's all that matters. And Jimbo Fisher, you know, will get extensions because of this and get extra money because of this. So I think that's the one I would want to pick. But the problem I have there is they're having some kind of issue at quarterback. I mean, everybody thought it'd be Jackson Dart. Luke Altemeyer is there. I remember him in recruiting very well. Alabama went after him. I think he's a good player, but I don't like the fact that that's still unsettled at Ole Miss. And I know they got Zach Evans in from TCU. I think he's going to be very good, but I feel like that sort of changes the way I look at this. So I will go with Arkansas because they bring back KJ Jefferson. Again, they are a tough team. They gave Alabama fits last year. They really did. And they just don't quit. Now, I say they don't quit. They kind of laid down a little bit against Auburn last year, Zach. But they don't quit. They didn't quit against Alabama, I can tell you that. And I feel like that coaching staff is very rough and tumble. And that's going to be a very difficult game.
Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Obviously, we're talking about favorites to win the SEC championship. If it's not Georgia or Alabama, Gordy, who would you say is that third team? Is it A&M?
A&M is the one everybody's going with just because they won the recruiting national championship a few months ago, and they're hanging banners. Hey, we got the number one class. Great. Now you got to go do better than 8-4. I think A&M's got the talent. If it is Haynes King, a quarterback, like a lot of people expect it to be, he won the starting job a year ago. He's surrounded by talent all over the place. But I just think the schedule is very tough for them. And we know Saban wants to pay back Jimbo in that game in Tuscaloosa this year. Pay back for the loss last year and pay back for running your mouth this offseason, calling a press conference to shoot arrows back at me. I look at Ole Miss as a sneaky team because – like Luke said, if it is Jackson Dart, whoever it is, a quarterback, there's a lot of talent that's coming through the portal to Ole Miss. But the big thing Ole Miss has going for him is the schedule. Go look at that schedule and find me two or three losses. I mean, Ole Miss looks like a team it sets up for them where they can, you know, have a nice run in the table. Maybe they lose to Bama, maybe they lose to somebody else, but you know, they could be that team sitting there with one or two losses at the end of the year. Maybe if Bama slips up here and there, and Ole Miss can pull a rabbit out of the hat, get your popcorn ready, and they upset Nick Saban this year, which you've already seen monkey off the back with a former assistant beating Saban. Now Jimbo's done it and Kirby's done it. Right. It's Lane Kiffin next in line to do it. If he does that, Ole Miss could have a miraculous season with all the talk of, oh my God, they lost Matt Corral. No, they've addressed all the other needs this offseason. I think Ole Miss can be that team in the West. And then like we talked about in the East, I think Tennessee and Kentucky are both fantastic teams right now. Tennessee a little worried about their defense, but you know the offense is going to score a ton of points. Can they win a shootout with Georgia? And Hooker can. And then Kentucky, Will Levis, people are literally penciling him in as a first round pick next year. If that's the case, we need to see a Joe Burrow like rise in Will Levis's play this year, Kentucky. And if that happens, they might be in Atlanta.
Look, I want it to be Alabama and Georgia. I've really enjoyed this. I mean, I know Zach, Auburn fans have a lot of problem with Georgia fans. I mean, that's sort of a thing. But, you know, I went to the national championship game last year. I went to the one in Atlanta. I've been to all the SEC title games recently. And it's been a lot of fun. And I think there's so much mutual respect. And because we know those are the two most talented teams probably in the country just about every year. So I dig that. But if it's not Alabama and Georgia, if it's not, I mean, how cool would it be if it were Ole Miss and Kentucky? I mean, I would probably go to that because two fan bases that have never been, and Lane Kiffin against Mark Stoops. I mean, the dichotomy there is crazy. And boy, I'm telling you, that'd be a tough ticket.
Yeah, and talking about different matchups, I was the only person at SEC Media Days to vote for the Tennessee Vols to win the SEC East. Maybe I'm ridiculous. I don't know.
Did you forget Georgia's in the SEC?
Like you said several times, I'm an Auburn guy. It is what it is.
He's contractually obligated to not vote Georgia.
You make a great point, too, Zach. The media has largely been wrong in picking who's playing Atlanta. So the fact that it's so overwhelmingly Alabama and Georgia, right, the odds say somebody else is going to be representing.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gordy. That's a good point. We'll wrap this up real quick. Clint, fill in the blank here. Georgia wins the SEC if blank.
If Stetson Bennett is Stetson Bennett of the national championship game, because he's the only wild card that's still out there in people's mind. I mean, again, this kid has proved everything. He has done it over and over and over again, and he's getting more weapons, and we have a better offensive line than we did last year. So if he remains consistent, this offense goes. And then the part two is if this defense gives up maybe just 2 or 3 point difference from last year, because I think this offense, the floor is 32 points a game for this offense. Defense is going to be maybe another question mark. So Stetson Bennett keeps it. And if the defense regression is just a couple of ticks down, I see a return of that SEC championship game.
Luke, same for you. Fill in the blank. Alabama wins the SEC if blank.
If at least, let's call it 1.5 receiver steps up. I mean, we got to have one reliable receiver. And then I don't care if it's like a tight end one game The slot guy, another game. Jahmyr Gibbs, the game after that. Somebody else has to step up in the passing game and help Bryce Young out, because I'm going to tell you something. You go back and watch that Alabama-Georgia game, the pass that Bryce Young had to Ajay Hall where he couldn't catch it. It just turns my stomach. I mean, that was just an unbelievable play, and that play needs to be made. And sometimes as a receiver, you just got to make that play. And Alabama's got to have some people dependable. And of course, at the end of the year, they just didn't have them anymore. I mean, and you saw what happened. Look, people forget Jameson Williams went out of the Iron Bowl very early. It affected Alabama's offense. Then, of course, Mechie gets hurt in the SEC title game. And of course, Williamson gets hurt in the national championship game. And all of a sudden, they didn't have anybody they could depend on anymore. So they need some receivers to truly step up.
Coming up next, who could be the surprise of the SEC? 12 teams look to knock off Alabama and Georgia in the conference. We are talking about the teams that are saying, don't sleep on me, next on the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Don't sleep on.
The vast majority of experts believe that a collision course is happening between Alabama and Georgia. It's unavoidable, but other teams in the SEC, like Ole Miss, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, are doing everything they can to be one of the two teams to make it to Atlanta. Joining me now, Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, Lance Daw, host of Locked On Kentucky, Stephen Willis of Locked On Ole Miss, John Neighbors of Locked On Razorbacks, and Eric Kane of Locked On Vols. Eric, let's start with you talking about the Vols. I was the only person at SEC Media Days to vote for the Vols to win the East. I told you that. You thought I was crazy. Why am I crazy? But also, how can they pull this thing off?
Well, year two in the system with Josh Heupel, you saw an offense that averaged 21 points per game under Jeremy Pruitt go to the top 10 in the country, scoring over 39 points per game in year one. That offense is expected to be faster, to be just as explosive, if not better. You return Hendon Hooker, a quarterback who was 31-3, touchdowns, interceptions. Plus, he added five more rushing touchdowns on the board. You bring back Cedric Tillman, who's highly thought of around the SEC and now in the country. And if Tennessee can just take a step defensively, which they have more options and more depth here in year two, you think some more complementary football can happen. That's the biggest thing going for the University of Tennessee, that offense. Plus, just make a stop, get an interception in the fourth quarter, help out the offense a little bit, and we'll see what Tennessee can do this year. But they're going to be fun to watch no matter what.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the two teams that people are kind of labeling as a sleeper in the SEC East. Lance Dahl, host of Locked On Kentucky. Kentucky is the other one. Is there a chance here? Can the Kentucky Wildcats make it to an SEC championship in football?
I certainly think it's possible. And you look around the SEC East, and actually Eric and I were talking about this back at SEC Media Days. I think when you compare the Wildcats roster to other rosters in the SEC, I like the depth that Kentucky has compared to some of these other teams, South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida. I really like the depth the Wildcats have. Now, is their talent on the high end? Are they able to really compete with a team like Georgia? I'm not really sure, but if there was a year for the Wildcats to make a legitimate run to Atlanta, I think you have to look at this year. Kentucky gets Georgia at home, second to last game of the season. That one could be big. I'm really looking forward to that matchup. But yeah, I think Kentucky not only has depth, but they also have pieces in that starting rotation that you would need to potentially make a run to the SEC championship game. They've got a star quarterback. They've got a really, really solid front seven. They've got a couple of different individual pieces in that secondary that could be stars. And then they've got a coaching staff that's known for developing and putting out a really good, solid product on the field. So, yeah, I definitely think looking at this schedule, things set up really, really well for a decent roster to potentially make a run at the title.
John Neighbors, host of Locked On Razorbacks, perhaps our most handsome host of all of the Locked On hosts in our network here. Look, there's a lot of love being thrown towards the Arkansas Razorbacks. Coach Pittman is perhaps the most likable coach in all of college football. But are they ready to take that next step, John?
I think so. I mean, the fact is that last year, Arkansas was able to do things that nobody thought possible. I mean, they won 8 games. And I think considering where they were just a few years ago, it's kind of nice to be able to actually talk trash for the Razorbacks for a change instead of having to just suffer a beatdown every single time that you get brought up. But here's the thing. Like, Arkansas plays in the SEC West. It's a really tough schedule. It's a really tough division. Arkansas has a really tough non-conference slate. I mean, they open up the season against Cincinnati, the team that was in the college football playoff last year. And your next game is South Carolina. But luckily for Arkansas, their toughest games are at home. They play Bama at home. They play LSU at home. They play Ole Miss at home. They're going to have to go on the road to BYU, which will be tough too. But as my shirt indicates, KJ Jefferson's the man. I mean, he's a guy that I think that a lot of people are sleeping on at this point in time. And I think he's going to go out and prove himself. I think the transfers that Arkansas brought in under Sam Pittman, especially defensively, guys like Drew Sanders, getting him from Alabama on defense and offense, getting Jaden Hazelwood from Oklahoma, two former five-star players out of high school and big contributors to their team. I think those are the pieces that they've been missing that they're going to be able to add into the mix. The offensive line essentially is returning. The running back core is returning. The secondary is probably going to be the best it's ever been at Arkansas as far as depth goes. So adding all those pieces together, I think Arkansas has a legitimate shot on it. The first 5 games are going to be telling, but if they can find ways to really shock the world in those first 5 games, I think there's no reason that they can't win the SEC West or at least compete for it this year.
All right, let's go from one team that has a hard time beating Auburn in a year to another. Stephen Willis, host of Locked On Ole Miss. What does Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss need to do to secure the SEC West?
Well, they kind of need to basically establish an identity on the talent infusion of this roster, where there were like 17 blue chip players that went to the Sugar Bowl last year. The roster right now is at 30 blue chip players. The talent infusion has been unbelievable. But the problem is, this is a team that's kind of built for 2023. But with the schedule they have, the first 5 games, like game 5's against Kentucky, and then you get Auburn and LSU, Ole Miss potentially could start 8-0 before A&M, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi State comes on the schedule. And if that happens, kind of all bets are off. Obviously, look out for Michael Trigg. This is a super athlete player. And in the Lane Kiffin tight end friendly offense, could put up some decent numbers and rival the Georgia quadrumvirate of players.
Right. And Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. I know you mentioned last segment that Ole Miss was a team that you were kind of, you know, say, hey, don't sleep on these guys. Of these other arguments that you've heard throughout these hosts on this segment, which one of those kind of pops off the page at you and says, okay, yeah, maybe there's something to this?
Yeah, I think it's Arkansas. I think Arkansas has a, you know, this could be that year that they've taken a next step every year, you know, that Sam Pittman's been there. And so I think they're knocking on the doorstep. The only reason I'm very optimistic on Ole Miss, one, they have, you know, lit up the transfer portal like Stephen Willis talked about, and, you know, they've added a lot of pieces, but also that schedule is very forgiving for Ole Miss. And a lot of people look at it and say, hey, look, find me four losses on there. It's hard because even if they're Ole Miss is mediocre, you know, they should be able to win eight, maybe nine games this year. But I'm bullish on A&M still. I really do think that Jimbo Fisher's done a good job there. All the rumors are that Haynes King is going to be the guy. And, you know, that week three game with Miami coming to College Station, I think is such a marquee game for them. If they win that one, man, you can take a loss at Tuscaloosa, and I think they could be sitting there with a marquee win over Miami and a marquee win over some of the other programs like Arkansas on a neutral field in Dallas again. I think A&M could be that team that's sitting there as an at-large bid if, say, Alabama and Georgia both have one loss each going into the SEC championship game. I think A&M could be that team on the outside looking in going, hey, guys, we're right here. Great resume with one loss. So A&M's a team just to keep an eye on.
8-4.
8-4 for the Aggies. Seems like Texas no matter what. Four. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So if somebody's going to have to topple Alabama or topple Georgia, I mean, quarterback play is going to be a huge part of this. And I will purposely leave this open-ended for all of you. Of all of the teams that are being covered right here, which quarterback is best suited to help their team do that?
I mean, I think it's Arkansas. I think with KJ, just because, like, I've said this many times on my podcast, I'm like, you know, if for Arkansas to beat teams like Alabama and teams that, like, you know, Georgia, whoever that's in the SEC, it's like they got to have some elite level quarterback because they're not going to have five-star talent surrounding him. Like, they'll occasionally get some guys, but nothing too serious there. So, I mean, I feel like it's KJ. If he stays healthy because he was the leading rusher for Arkansas last year, too. I mean, with his dynamics, I think that he might be it. And also, real quick, since you brought up, you know, teams that get owned by Auburn, let's just remember that in this group, there's only one little brother, and that is Auburn. Because Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Ole Miss, we don't have any little brother or any big brothers. We're all big brothers here, except for you. So just remember that.
Sure. No, I'm just bitter that we were kind of putting together, okay, the favorites and the sleepers, and Auburn wasn't mentioned at all in our programming meeting. So I'm just still bitter about that. And that's okay. That's okay.
Let me give a little love here to Will Rogers, you know, since we don't have a Mississippi State representative here. This is a guy who threw for 4,700 yards last year, 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I know the schedule is brutal for Mississippi State, so I don't know if, you know, like beating Bama and winning the West is realistic. But I do think they'll play spoiler. They're going to beat somebody that they're not supposed to, whether it's A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, you know, maybe even Georgia they sneak up on. Mississippi State is going to win a marquee game this year because it's shown Mike Leach, once he's been in a place that year three and he's got the same quarterback with him, man, do they love to disrupt things and make noise. So watch for Will Rogers at Mississippi State. He's one of the most underrated quarterbacks we don't even talk about in the conference.
Yeah, Steve, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Go ahead, guys. I mean, you look at Mississippi State's schedule, I think they've got two really good opportunities to beat an SEC East opponent. They've got Georgia. They've got Kentucky. I mean, those are two games. As a Wildcats fan, I'm worried about that game after seeing what happened last year, even though it is in Lexington. And then also, I mean, Georgia's what they are. But at the same time, if you're going to beat a powerhouse like Georgia or Alabama, as we're sitting here talking about, you got to have a quarterback that can essentially play perfect. And I think from a completion standpoint and from an efficiency standpoint, the Mike Leach offense isn't very consistent, but it could be one of those games. It could be just one of those games where Rodgers just happens to play very, very well and the receivers click and everything just clicks. So yeah, I definitely think that's a possibility.
Stephen Willis, host of Locked On Ole Miss, is that a concern for you at all? I mean, obviously you guys get them at the end of the season. Is that something that could potentially be like, if Ole Miss is having the season that a lot of Ole Miss people think that they can have, Mississippi State would love to play spoiler at the end of it.
They absolutely would. I would be more concerned if we faced Mississippi State in early October or late October than on Thanksgiving, because after going through that whole gauntlet, they're going to be as beat up as they can be. facing Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, all these just one after another, super physical teams. Mississippi State usually gets their rival. Mike Leach usually gets their rival about once every 5 years. So it's going to come up eventually, but I just don't think it's going to happen this year, even with Will Rogers.
Eric Kane, host of Locked On Vols. If things don't go right for Tennessee this year, what do you think happens?
Well, I mean, can tell you right now.
Say what?
I can tell you right now what's going to go wrong.
That defense, go ahead. The floor is yours.
That defense will not be able to stop a single thing. And we're hearing reports out of fall practice right now, man.
That defense is not going to be worse than last year. Statistically, it would be, you know, they did some good things. They got some top 10 in the country in TFLs and all that, but they were horrible in getting sacks. They were atrocious in third down defense. They gave up a ton of points. So statistically, it's going to be tough for them to be worse defensively than they were last year. So I think there's going to be a step there. I mean, they were 101st, I believe, in overall defense a season ago. Can you jump up to be top 70? Can you jump up to be top 65? As far as the stat sheet's concerned, that's not a huge jump, but I mean, it looks a whole lot better on paper, right? It goes back to what I was saying earlier, complimentary football. But if Tennessee doesn't take a step, and what's a step in your opinion? Is that 8 regular season wins? Is that 9 regular season wins? Is that a pretty decent bowl game? Is that just playing better complimentary football with the defense? You know, Josh Heupel's not on the hot seat, don't get me wrong, but I think it'll be a little bit of disappointment. A step this year is expected in Tennessee. You know, the fan base expects Tennessee to finish second behind Georgia. Tennessee expects to beat Kentucky and to continue to win those games against South Carolina, who's not going to be a gimme towards the end of the schedule, mind you, but Missouri and Vanderbilt and all those. And Tennessee expects to beat Florida this year. Those are kind of the expectations. I think in terms of the big three, probably not going to get Georgia, in my opinion, not going to get Alabama, in my opinion. But can you get Florida? That is a huge game for the Vols on September 24th.
Y'all can't be good in football, though, because you can only be good in one major sport. And because I can only take so much of the insane Tennessee fans. Like, it was so bad in baseball. I never rooted for harder for Notre Dame in my life. And so if you guys get good in football, too, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I probably will jump off a bridge here in Arkansas. Because
this city,
and y'all don't even play us. Like, you don't even play us. And I just can't deal with that. It's the worst.
The city will burn down if Tennessee is consistently good in football. I mean, it's just, look at baseball, for example. I mean, this fan base is just so passionate. They just want a winner, right? So we'll see what happens.
Right.
I think a good season for Tennessee is a Florida Bowl, right? Go to whatever the Outback Bowl used to be. That would be a successful season for Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee fans love Florida Bowls. If you go to the Belt Bowl or to the Music City Bowl or whenever, I mean, Tennessee will never go to the Liberty Bowl, but whenever that's in conversation, it's kind of just Tennessee's too good for any of those. So Florida Bowl, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee getting 8 to 9 wins in the regular season is kind of the expectation, but we'll see. This offense will give you a chance no matter what. Tennessee was one of the best first quarter offenses in the country this season ago, had a second quarter lull, played good against the first quarter against Georgia, played well into the fourth quarter against Alabama, finishing those football games. We talk about taking steps. That's going to be important for Tennessee here in 2022.
John, you know, just looking at this Arkansas team, what's your biggest concern going into the year?
Defensive line. I don't even think it's close, because if there was one position group that Arkansas hasn't recruited well at and hasn't really gone to the portal and gotten some big time names, it's been defensive line. And that's why they fired, or Sam Pittman fired, Jamal Ashley, who was the defensive line coach last year. It's like I woke up on a Sunday morning and he was fired, because, fun fact, since Sam Pittman has been at Arkansas, Jamal Ashley, they did not even host one 4-star defensive lineman on campus. Not commit or anything. Didn't even host one. And they were in the running for that kid from TCU. I can't remember his name in the transfer portal, but once they didn't get him, he fired him and he brought in Deke Adams. So, I mean, that's to me the biggest, and honestly, that's to me going to be what holds back Arkansas this year. Cause we know, all of us know, like in the SEC, trench play, if you have great trench play, you're going to be a great team. Arkansas's offensive line is great, but defensive line, that could be the difference between going 7-5 and going 10-2. So I don't really know what to expect out of that. You're hopeful and they've got some depth. They got players, but how good are they? That's kind of the biggest question mark for them.
Steven, biggest concern for Ole Miss going into the year. If something happens and the season trends the wrong way, what do you think happens?
The quarterback competition, they didn't get it right. Between Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer, that is the only question that Ole Miss fans care about. And if Jackson Dart is good, if he is as good as advertised, the ceiling is through the roof with this team. If he's bad, his floor is pretty low. So this team could go anywhere from 5-7 all the way up to 10-2 or 11-1. They have such a wide range, and it all starts with that quarterback position.
Lance, same question about Kentucky. If something trends the wrong way, what happens?
I definitely think the receiver room does not pan out. They got a lot of youth there. Tavion Robinson is transferring in from Virginia Tech. Could be the Robinson replacement to Wandale Robinson, who was Will Levis's favorite target last year. But yeah, I think that Will Levis is going to do a lot of really good things for this offense. But if he can't find players that can consistently get open, I don't know if Kentucky's going to have a lot of success this year against teams like Ole Miss. I think that definitely could be a struggle.
All right. And then I know we already touched on this a little bit with Tennessee, but Eric, if things trend the wrong direction, what happened with the Vols?
Running back is a big-time concern. Four scholarship running backs on the roster. Tennessee went through five a season ago. So four scholarship running backs, the top two are injury-prone, the bottom two are true freshmen. That is a concern for Tennessee.
Alabama is favored to win the SEC, but is it the best value for your money? We are setting the edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets next on the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, brought to you by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network.
Setting the edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets.
You can find all the betting advice you need every Monday through Friday with Locked On Bets. The podcast is hosted by your boy Q and betting expert Lee Sterling. Georgia may have won the rematch with Alabama for the national championship, but Alabama took the SEC title in December. Can they repeat again, or will Georgia come out on top in the conference? Let's hear what Lee Sterling has to say. And don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Look, Lee, Alabama leads the way in Vegas when you look at the Bet Online lines here, minus 140. At this point, to me, it seems like a layup. Just always bet on Alabama and the Crimson Tide.
Especially with Nick Saban, with, you know, the motivation there. So
true.
Look at them, 10.5. Who's going to beat them? Texas? I don't think so. I think Texas picked the wrong quarterback to start the year. You know, they felt pressure.
Okay.
I don't think Steve Sarkisian is making the decisions there. The higher-ups are. Texas A&M in the rematch game? Doubt it.
No way.
Tennessee is maybe the only team that has a shot at them. LSU, Auburn always plays them tough. But 10.5 wins, I can't see them regular season 12 games losing more than one game. I like the over on 10.5. And here's what's crazy. Everyone talks about the offense, and obviously Will Anderson's going to get a lot of hype.
Sure.
But how about this? They allow just 2.7 yards per carry running the football. And 57 sacks, not 27, 37, or 47, 57 sacks. They got it all, plus a great head coach. I like Alabama.
Yeah, they jump out into an early lead, and they keep you one-dimensional because you have to pass the ball. And so, yeah, they get on you early, and that's about it. Georgia, rightfully so, is second when you look at the odds to win the SEC. They're at +160. And it really seems like it, Lee, going into the season, if it's not Alabama, it is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, they're going to have to with offense this year. Totally different than last year. I think their defense will be okay.
Yeah.
But it'll be different. So Kendall Milton, who will be, I think, their feature back, and Kenny McIntosh more on third downs, I think they're going to be really good. And I think they have the best tight ends in the country. They have three guys. Watch the spring game. Their third-string guy starts at 75% of colleges in America. Yep. And their receivers will be improved also. But they're going to have to outscore teams. And I don't know if they can do that on a consistent basis. I think it's Alabama, and then there's about three or four teams that will battle it out for the second-best team. You know, they've got the talent. They recruit. Just depends how they come together. But I would probably play the under. I could see them going 10-2 this year in the regular season.
Texas A&M has the third best odds to win the SEC per Bet Online. And look, there's a massive drop off from plus 160 to plus 1400. And A&M's kind of in a tier on their own. Then there's another big drop off before you get to the likes of Kentucky. A&M is so interestingly because they have the talent, right? I mean, A&M's very excited that they had the best recruiting class arguably ever, which is fine. But, you know, as long as you continue to go 8-4, and as long as your quarterback play continues to be questionable, unless you can generate offense in other ways, it hasn't mattered for Jimbo Fisher at this point. So betting on Texas A&M, I don't like this. I don't like that move at all.
So I think they're going to go over 8.5 wins, but I think they got three pretty good quarterbacks. I don't know if any one of them is great and can go into like an Alabama win the game. If they beat Miami, and that's going to be a tough test. Remember, Mario Cristobal as an underdog coach is incredible. Just look it up from his time at Oregon. If they can do that, their defensive line is going to be scary good. If you give them 5-6 weeks to come together, these freshmen, this might be a line they talk about almost on the level in the NFL of like the Purple People Eaters or the Fearsome Foursome or the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to be incredible. So they got, looks like maybe three or four true freshmen will start or by the third or fourth game be starting.
Sure.
The question I have is the receivers don't hang on to the ball real well. And sometimes when you have three quarterbacks, you know, one doesn't do well. Jimbo is a quarterback whisperer, and I think he'll pick the right one. But they have some problems. Look out. But I do think their just talent is just overwhelming. I like them over 8.5, but they're not on Alabama's level.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a name of that unit. The Angry Aggies, maybe? I don't know. But after that, there's a big drop-off, right? And everybody's in the same tier here. Yeah. Kentucky plus 4,000. Tennessee plus 4,000. Ole Miss plus 5,000. Florida plus 5,000. LSU plus 5,000. Auburn plus 5,000. And then Arkansas at 6,600. I mean, how any analyst has the rest of the teams in the SEC, it's all going to be different based on who you ask, because all of these teams have the equal amount of questions, and a lot of these teams are going to play each other and beat each other up.
Yeah, the only teams I would take a chance on, if you want to just take some shots on long shots, are Tennessee and Kentucky. I like them both over 7.5 and 8 wins. I think Tennessee, that cheat code two-by-two offense, they got two receivers on each side, is tough. And if they win the East, just got to win one game, you know, against Alabama probably.
Right.
So you want to take a shot and throw some money on, I would say, Tennessee or Kentucky, because they have a really good quarterback in Levis and a really good running back in Rodriguez when he doesn't fumble the ball. And their coaching staff is very underrated. Stoops has put together a bunch of really good position coaches and really good recruiters. And who knows, everything goes right. You know, one of those two teams can get in the championship game, and then, you know, you roll the dice and they probably have nothing to lose.
Yeah. And don't tell Stoops that Kentucky's a basketball school. That really sets them off. No, I'm with you, Lee. I'm very high on the Tennessee Vols. I was the only person at SEC Media Days to vote for the Vols to win the East. I think there's a very, very solid chance that this offense is borderline unstoppable. A lot of questions on the defense, but if they can get it right, especially if Georgia doesn't answer some of the questions on the offensive side of the ball, I think that becomes a very, very interesting conversation. The biggest thing against Tennessee is similar to what Auburn has to deal with all the time. I mean, Tennessee and Auburn are the only ones that have to do this as far as playing Alabama and Georgia and the same year every year. I mean, that's just tough. It's just absolutely tough from a scheduling standpoint. But I think as far as winning the East, you can lose a game and still win the East, especially if you're able to beat Georgia.
Yeah, which I think this year is doable. Last year, you know, it was tough to score 10 points on that defense.
Right. What do you think about Ole Miss as a long shot? That was one that Locked On SEC host Chris Gordy said earlier in today's show. I thought his take was pretty interesting.
So I don't like Jackson Dart a whole lot. If you watch the spring game, he looked horrible. Now, part of it was probably didn't know the offense, but
yeah.
I love their running game. If they're smart, they run the ball. Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley, I think might be top two, top three running back tandem in college football. They are that good. And I really like both coordinators. Usually I'm a little worried about new coordinators with Charlie Weiss Jr. and Maurice Crum, but I think both are going to be really good. I think they're going to win over 7.5 games. I have for 8, maybe 9 wins, but defense is nothing special, and they don't have a whole lot of depth on the defense.
Right. What about South Carolina as a real long shot here? Plus 8,000. Is there a chance? You know, Beamer's got some positive momentum going with this program. We talked about Spencer Rattler. I know you shared your thoughts on him just a moment or earlier in our preview, but it's just like, if they could figure it all out, Lee, I mean, you can kind of talk yourself into it. South Carolina has never really been afraid of Georgia, it seems like. I think it's interesting. I'm not putting my money on it, but I think it's worth the conversation.
It's interesting, and they'll be better. And I think Spencer Rattler, with less pressure on him, will be good. Yeah. They should have a good running game. And I think another coaching staff does a really good job. And they coach kids up. And, some of these coaching staffs, if a kid's not going to start, they'll burn a kid and he's looking to transfer. I think they're building something. I don't know if I would call it special. They're going to be very competitive. The problem is the other teams just have more talent than them.
All right, Lee, of all the teams that we mentioned, we're not going to go over Mississippi State, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. We're just not. Yeah. We're just not doing it. Of all the teams that we've discussed, though, as far as value, as far as return on your investment and wagering on all this, where are you going with everything? Where is your money?
Under on Florida, 7 wins. I don't see how they get above 6 wins. I think they're a 5, at best, 6-win team. If Anthony Richardson gets hurt, they might win 3 games. There's just nothing there. Now, in a couple years, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, you look at the recruits that they have coming in next year. I mean, defensive line, offensive line, scary good. But it's just not there right now. Too many key guys left, defensive line, linebacker position. And, you can talk about all you want about the SEC. Games are won in the trenches in the SEC. So you can have all the talent at quarterback and running back. If you can't protect the quarterback and you can't stop the run, you're not going to win games. And it could turn really bad after that first game against Utah. So just think they're going to have a really tough year this year.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. After not discussing Auburn, the team I cover in the SEC, tomorrow we'll move on to the ACC. Can Clemson reassert its dominance in the conference, or will the Miami Hurricanes sweep through for their first ever ACC title? Once again, I'm Zach Blackerby, and until next time, thank you to our friends at Odyssey. And thank you for listening and watching. You can find the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast provider to make sure you don't miss an episode.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Setting the Edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets.
You can find all the betting advice you need every Monday through Friday with Locked On Bets. The podcast is hosted by your boy Q and betting expert Lee Sterling. Georgia may have won the rematch with Alabama for the national championship, but Alabama took the SEC title in December. Can they repeat again, or will Georgia come out on top in the conference? Let's hear what Lee Sterling has to say. And don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Look, Lee, Alabama leads the way in Vegas when you look at the Bet Online lines here, minus 140. At this point, to me, it seems like a layup. Just always bet on Alabama and the Crimson Tide.
Especially with Nick Saban, with, you know, the motivation there. So
true.
Look at them, 10.5. Who's going to beat them? Texas? I don't think so. I think Texas picked the wrong quarterback to start the year. You know, they felt pressure.
Okay.
I don't think Steve Sarkisian is making the decisions there. The higher-ups are. Texas A&M in the rematch game? Doubt it.
No way.
Tennessee is maybe the only team that has a shot at them. LSU, Auburn always plays them tough. But 10.5 wins, I can't see them regular season 12 games losing more than one game. I like the over on 10.5. And here's what's crazy. Everyone talks about the offense, and obviously Will Anderson's going to get a lot of hype.
Sure.
But how about this? They allow just 2.7 yards per carry running the football. And 57 sacks, not 27, 37, or 47, 57 sacks. They got it all, plus a great head coach. I like Alabama.
Yeah, they jump out into an early lead, and they have to keep, you know, they keep you one-dimensional because you have to pass the ball. And so, yeah, they get on you early, and that's about it. Georgia, rightfully so, is second when you look at the odds to win the SEC. They're at plus 160, and it really seems like it, Lee, going into the season, if it's not Alabama, it is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, they're going to have to, with offense this year, totally different than last year. I think their defense will be okay,
yeah,
but it'll be different. So Kendall Milton, who will be, I think, their feature back, and Kenny McIntosh more on third downs, I think they're going to be really good, and I think they have the best tight ends in the country. They have three guys. Watch the spring game. Their third-string guy starts at 75% of colleges in America, and their receivers will be improved also. But they're going to have to outscore teams, and I don't know if they can do that on a consistent basis. I think it's Alabama, and then there's about three or four teams that'll battle it out for the second best team. You know, they've got the talent. They recruit. Just depends how they come together. But I would probably play the under. I could see them going 10-2 this year in the regular season.
Texas A&M has the third best odds to win the SEC per Bet Online. And look, there's a massive drop off from plus 160 to plus 1400. And A&M's kind of in a tier on their own. Then there's another big drop off before you get to the likes of Kentucky. A&M is so interestingly because they have the talent, right? I mean, A&M's very excited that they had the best recruiting class arguably ever, which is fine. But you know, as long as you continue to go 8-4, and as long as your quarterback play continues to be questionable, unless you can generate offense in other ways, it hasn't mattered for Jimbo Fisher at this point. So betting on Texas A&M, I don't like this. I don't like that move at all.
So I think they're going to go over 8.5 wins, but I think they got three pretty good quarterbacks. I don't know if any one of them is great and can go into like an Alabama win the game. If they beat Miami, and that's going to be a tough test. Remember, Mario Cristobal as an underdog coach is incredible. Just look it up from his time at Oregon. If they can do that, their defensive line is going to be scary good. If you give them 5-6 weeks to come together, these freshmen, this might be a line they talk about almost on the level in the NFL of like the Purple People Eaters or the Fearsome Foursome or the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to be incredible. So they got, it looks like maybe 3 or 4 true freshmen will start or by the 3rd or 4th game be starting.
Sure.
The question I have is the receivers don't hang on to the ball real well. And sometimes when you have 3 quarterbacks, you know, one doesn't do well. Jimbo is a quarterback whisperer, and I think he'll pick the right one. But they have some problems. Look out. But I do think they're just talent is just overwhelming. I like them over 8.5, but they're not on Alabama's level.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a name of that unit. The Angry Aggies, maybe? I don't know. But after that, there's a big drop-off, right? And everybody's in the same tier here. Yeah. Kentucky plus 4,000. Tennessee plus 4,000. Ole Miss plus 5,000. Florida plus 5,000. LSU plus 5,000. Auburn plus 5,000. And then Arkansas at 6,600. I mean, how any analyst has the rest of the teams in the SEC, it's all going to be different based on who you ask, because all of these teams have the equal amount of questions, and a lot of these teams are going to play each other and beat each other up.
Yeah, the only teams I would take a chance on, if you want to just take some shots on long shots, are Tennessee and Kentucky. I like them both over 7.5 and 8 wins. I think Tennessee, that cheat code 2x2 offense, they got 2 receivers on each side, is tough. And if they win the East, just got to win one game, you know, against Alabama probably.
Right.
So you want to take a shot and throw some money on, I would say, Tennessee or Kentucky, because they have a really good quarterback in Levis and a really good running back in Rodriguez when he doesn't fumble the ball. And their coaching staff is very underrated. Stoops has put together a bunch of really good position coaches and really good recruiters. And who knows, everything goes right, you know, one of those two teams can get in the championship game, and then, you know, you roll the dice and they probably have nothing to lose.
Yeah. And don't tell Stoops that Kentucky's a basketball school. That really sets them off. No, I'm with you, Lee. I'm very high on the Tennessee Vols. I was the only person at SEC Media Days to vote for the Vols to win the East. I think there's a very, very solid chance that this offense is borderline unstoppable. A lot of questions on the defense, but if they can get it right, especially if Georgia doesn't answer some of the questions on the offensive side of the ball, I think that becomes a very, very interesting conversation. The biggest thing against Tennessee is similar to what Auburn has to deal with all the time. I mean, Tennessee and Auburn are the only ones that have to do this as far as playing Alabama and Georgia and the same year every year. I mean, that's just tough. It's just absolutely tough from a scheduling standpoint. But I think as far as winning the East, you can lose a game and still win the East, especially if you're able to beat Georgia.
Yeah, which I think this year is doable. Last year, you know, it was tough to score 10 points on that defense.
Right. What do you think about Ole Miss as a long shot? That was one that Locked On SEC host Chris Gordy said earlier in today's show. I thought his take was pretty interesting.
So I don't like Jackson Dart a whole lot. If you watch the spring game, he looked horrible. Now, part of it was probably didn't know the offense, but
yeah.
I love their running game. If they're smart, they run the ball. Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley, I think, might be top 2, top 3 running back tandem in college football. They are that good. And I really like both coordinators. Usually I'm a little worried about new coordinators with Charlie Weiss Jr. and Maurice Crum, but I think both are going to be really good. I think they're going to win over 7.5 games. I have for 8, maybe 9 wins. But So the defense is nothing special, and they don't have a whole lot of depth on the defense.
Right. What about South Carolina as a real long shot here? Plus 8,000. Is there a chance? You know, Beamer's got some positive momentum going with this program. We talked about Spencer Rattler. I know you shared your thoughts on him just a moment or earlier in our preview, but it's just like, if they could figure it all out, Lee, I mean, you can kind of talk yourself into it. South Carolina's never really been afraid of Georgia, it seems like. I think it's interesting. I'm not putting my money on it, but I think it's worth the conversation.
It's interesting, and they'll be better. And I think Spencer Rattler, with less pressure on him, will be good. Yeah. They should have a good running game. And I think another coaching staff does a really good job. And they coach kids up. And, some of these coaching staffs, if a kid's not going to start, they'll burn a kid and he's looking to transfer. I think they're building something. I don't know if I would call it special. They're going to be very competitive. The problem is the other teams just have more talent than them.
All right, Lee, of all the teams that we mentioned, we're not going to go over Mississippi State, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. We're just not. Yeah. We're just not doing it. Of all the teams that we've discussed, though, as far as value, as far as return on your investment and wagering on all of this, where are you going with everything? Where is your money?
Under on Florida, 7 wins. I don't see how they get above 6 wins. I think they're a 5 at best 6-win team. If Anthony Richardson gets hurt, they might win 3 games. There's just nothing there. Now, in a couple years, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, you look at the recruits that they have coming in next year. I mean, defensive line, offensive line, scary good. But it's just not there right now. Too many key guys left, defensive line, linebacker position. And, you can talk about all you want about the SEC. Games are won in the trenches in the SEC. So – you can have all the talent at quarterback and running back. If you can't protect the quarterback and you can't stop the run, you're not going to win games. And it could turn really bad after that first game against Utah. So just think they're going to have a really tough year this year.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. After not discussing Auburn, the team I cover in the SEC, tomorrow we'll move on to the ACC. Can Clemson reassert its dominance in the conference, or will the Miami Hurricanes sweep through for their first ever ACC title? Once again, I'm Zach Blackerby, and until next time, thank you to our friends at Odyssey. And thank you for listening and watching. You can find the Ultimate College Football Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast provider to make sure you don't miss an episode.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.